You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, guys, it's Kat.
And on this episode, we have a very special guest. It's Inika. You remember her. She is the premier paranormal guide in Savannah, Georgia. She is one of the most knowledgeable people in the world of that area. And that area just happens to be one of the most haunted places in the U.S. Inika, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been really fun to kind of keep up with your paranormal experiences, everything you've had going on since we last talked to you. I know you've also been on a handful of podcasts since we last spoke, and things really seem to be taking off. I mean, it's been so much fun to I saw you pop up on my TikTok on a local podcast from Savannah that does a lot of video stuff. That was really cool to see. And we're That's just excited awesome. To get you back on the podcast.
Yeah. Can you give us like a whirlwind of an update since last time we talked to you?
Yeah. So I officially started my tour company, Inika Edenfield Tours. I can say my own name. in October of last year. And so I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary of owning and operating my own tour company. I was also the first guest on my friend Susie and Madison's podcast, which is The Most Haunted City on Earth. Fun fact, if you listen to the intro after they mess up their intro, you can hear my cackly laugh in the background.
Oh, fun.
And that plays every single episode. And I'm like, this is my lasting impact on Savannah. I've been running history tours and ghost tours. I get booked mostly for ghost tours, but I've had some new paranormal encounters along the way. And I've also had some really great guests on my tours along the way.
Oh, so cool. I didn't think about that, but I'm sure when celebrities go to tour Savannah, they also want to do ghost tours, right? Is that what you mean?
I haven't gotten any like celebrities, but I've gotten, you know, some people from TikTok and other podcast hosts who found me. Some of them found me through your podcast and reached out and was like, hey, we just heard you on this podcast and we'd love for you to show us around the spooky places.
Oh, that's awesome.
We should find out where you are these days on the Believo-meter. I almost called it the spooky meter. 0, obviously, meaning ghosts aren't real, and 10, ghosts are real. Where are you on there these days?
Still a 10. Still a 10.
No ghost encounters that were like, it's all fake.
Right. Stop telling them all our secrets.
We can't tell anybody.
Well, yeah, so let's kind of pick up and hit the ground running. I would love to know about some of these people that you took on tours, especially from TikTok, and if you guys encountered anything spooky on those tours.
Yeah, so I had one couple who reached out to me And the wife warned me ahead of time that she sees spirits sometimes. And I have a couple of different routes that I take people, just because the amount of people that we get into Savannah fluctuates. And if it's October, there are usual routes that a lot of tours go through, and I don't like fighting with crowds. So I have multiple routes planned so that if it gets too crowded in one area, we can shift and go to another area. But one of my usual stops is the Davenport House, which was built by a guy named Isaiah Davenport in 1820. And it's even though it doesn't look like a super fancy home from the outside, it was built in the Federalist style. So it has like that old Philadelphia look to it. But it's really important to Savannah because it was one of the first homes preserved during the upheaval in Savannah when a lot of historic homes were being bulldozed. But it's also important because of the 1820 yellow fever epidemic that swept through Savannah. Isaiah Davenport himself ended up dying from yellow fever, not in 1820, but a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. But every October, the Davenport House does a living history presentation talking about the 1820 yellow fever epidemic. And people can walk through and basically get an idea of what it would be like to live through the epidemic, have yellow fever, die from yellow fever, or mourn people who died from yellow fever.
Wow. That sounds like the immersive experience that I really don't want to know. Like, immersive experiences are all over the place now, like Harry Potter. Heck yeah. Yellow fever.
Who doesn't want to feel like they're dying from yellow fever?
Maybe the plague. Okay. Yes. I'll do the plague. Okay.
But I took this couple to the Davenport House, and I don't go inside of any of these places. I stay outside, but I'm talking about some of the history of this place. And the woman stops me and she says, there's a woman standing in front of one of the windows. And I turn to look, because they do have people who sometimes work late or they're doing a special presentation. And I look to see if there was somebody who worked there who was standing in front of the window. I did not see anybody. And I asked her, is the person still there? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, we're going to move on to the next place now.
Did you get a little too spooked on your own ghost tour?
My general reaction is, when something happens, leave.
Did she give you any, like, was she able to describe the lady at all? Did it sound like it's from a particular time period?
That home was used for a lot of different things. It could have been Mrs. Davenport, who ran the place as a boarding house after her husband died. It could have been any of the people who stayed there. But then I had another encounter after one of my tours close by. So the Davenport House, like a couple of streets over from it, is Colonial Park Cemetery, which is the oldest still standing municipal cemetery in Savannah. Not the first one, but it's the oldest one you can still see, because they built on top of the first one, because we don't learn lessons in Savannah. But I had wrapped up a tour one night and I had parked close to the cemetery. And that area, because it's a cemetery and it's in the middle of downtown, is a very popular place for a lot of ghost tours to stop. And almost any night of the week, you can drive by there and you'll see multiple ghost tours, like all on their little section of sidewalk out in front of the cemetery.
And that cemetery is fascinating just to, like, walk through. I mean, even you're just in Savannah, just seeing how old some of those tombstones are and, like, reading the history, because my tattoo artist used to be in Savannah. She's now moved to Bluffington, South Carolina. But that used to be one of my favorite things when I would go up there and have some free time, would just to walk through there, because it's something about, like, when you see history like that right in your face, especially in the South, we don't have a lot of that stuff still around, you know, because it was destroyed. So I can only imagine. That's how it's like, if there's anywhere that is haunted, it is definitely Savannah. So I'm glad you can come on and tell us about it.
Oh yeah. And just hot tip for anybody who's planning on walking through Colonial Park Cemetery, there is a brick wall. Walk next to the brick wall, because there are a bunch of headstones that were found broken when they were fixing the cemetery back up in the 1960s, and they didn't know where they were supposed to go. So they put them up against that wall. They're locked onto the wall. And a lot of people think it's really creepy, but it actually protects those headstones from a lot of aging, because they're protected from direct sunlight, they're protected from direct rain, and because they're upright, rainwater doesn't pool on them and eat away at the inscription. So there are some really old headstones up against that wall that you can read fairly well still.
So they're all against the wall, but no one knows like which grave they belong to?
Right. Burial records for Colonial Park Cemetery are bad to non-existent. So as they were fixing it up, they found these broken headstones and like, well, we got a headstone, but we don't know where it goes. Right. So we're just going to put it up against the wall. But I was walking down that sidewalk one night, and like I said, it's a very busy sidewalk, but I guess I had timed it just right because there's no one on the sidewalk. It's a very quiet night. There's also no one driving up and down the street. And I get about halfway down the sidewalk, walking to my car, and I can feel this presence behind me. Now, I used to work in news, and I listened to a lot of fun scanner traffic, especially at 3 a.m. So my first thought is, oh God, I'm about to get mugged.
Right.
So I turn around to yell at whoever is following me, thinking that maybe that'll scare them off. And when I turn around, no one is there. That I can still feel the presence. I just can't see anybody. And my friend Rebecca had warned me before I started this tour company, because she was a ghost tour guide in Wilmington, North Carolina. She warned me that that might happen. A ghost might try to follow you. And if that happens, you just need to stand your ground, set your boundaries, and let them know that they can't follow you. They have to stay there. So I am staring at an empty sidewalk thinking, okay, this is the moment. So I spoke to whoever it was. I said, I don't know who you are. Don't care that you can't follow me. You have to stay here. And then I turned around and I kept walking the direction that I was headed to my car. And whoever it was listened, which I appreciate a ghost who respects my boundaries, and they stayed put.
I'm so used to dealing with a toddler most of my time that I just feel like the ghost would be like, but why?
Noah, oh my gosh.
You obviously continue to have these experiences as you tour people and yourself through Savannah. Do you ever regret delving into this field? Does it ever get a little too scary for you?
Too scary? Working in news, like I was just telling some of my friends, like working in news, you deal with the absolute worst of humanity. And sometimes that means dealing with death threats, where people call into the news station. Some people show up at the news station. So compared to that, ghosts are nothing. there are moments, just because I'm a natural introvert. And so as an introvert, like you go through that thing where it's like, do I still want to be doing this? Do I want people to know who I am? And you just kind of want to hide away in your own home. But I always tell myself, like when I get into that mindset that, yeah, if this ever gets to be too much, I can just quit. I can delete all my social media and quit. And so there's
it's more of the humans than the ghosts that could be the problem. It reminds me of The Walking Dead. So as you kind of go through this, has there been anywhere since we talked to you that has kind of exploded in popularity as a place that people want to see in Savannah?
The Mercer House, I wouldn't say that the Mercer House has exploded, but I do get a lot more requests now to see that. And that is the home where Jim Williams from the book and the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil lived and eventually died.
Right.
And I just listened to that book on Audible probably last year for the first time. How much do they actually let you see and interact with that home if you do the tour?
The tour, so his sister owns that home now, and she's kept the first floor pretty much the same way that Jim had it. So they only take you to the first floor, which doesn't sound like a big tour, but they do tell you a lot about it. You do get to see quite a bit.
And like the furniture and stuff on that first floor is still from when Jim was there?
A lot of it is. There's actually a chair or a couch? There's a little sitting area that he had in like the back den. And Jim really loved cats. And his cat that he had when he lived in that home used to claw at some of the furniture. Mm-hmm. And his sister kept it that way after he passed. So you can still see the claw marks on the furniture from the cat.
Wow.
And do people report any hauntings from that home?
Yeah. So I actually had something happen to me there. When one of my friends came to visit, she's also a big fan of The Night in the Garden of Good and Evil. So we went there and we're standing in the office, Jim Williams' office, which is where Danny Hansford, his boyfriend, died. And they start talking about the night that Danny died. And I have my back to a door that led into what was Jim Williams' kitchen. And I start feeling this energy behind me that felt kind of like TV static. And the more they talked about Danny, the more intense that energy got. And it was getting really uncomfortable. By the time they wrapped up their spiel in that room and they were leading us to the next room, I grabbed my friend's arm. I was like, I don't know who is here, but somebody does not like the way that they're talking about Danny. And I was telling that on one of my lives, and I got several commenters saying, I toured that home and I got the same feeling. And just, I think it was a week ago, I had some of my friends, it was a couple of weeks ago, some of my friends came on a tour because they had their own family in town. And a couple of them are sensitive. And we stopped in front of that home and I'm telling them all the stories. And one of my friends said, yeah, that was Danny, because they could hear Danny when I'm relating this story. And my friend said that Danny told them, like, yeah, that was me. Like this very demanding voice.
You know, in that book, it talks about, isn't there like a voodoo priestess that he goes to, or right? What? Why? He just rolling her eyes.
So voodoo, this is like one of my pet peeves. There is voodoo and there is hoodoo, and those are two different things.
Oh, I thought it was just a saying, hoodoo the voodoo. That's not a...
No.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Those are two
experts here.
Those are two separate practices. They came into the country, United States, through different paths. They are related, but that's like saying Catholicism is related to Mormonism.
Okay.
So, like, related but different.
Gotcha.
Hoodoo most often is just referred to as root work, and that is something that the Gullah Geechee people on the eastern coast have kept alive. Those are practices that their ancestors brought over during the transatlantic slave trade. And it really is just a practice. It's not really a religion. A lot of hoodoo practitioners are Christian. Voodoo, on the other hand, is more of a religion. And that is something that was brought into New Orleans.
And is there a lot of voodoo in Savannah?
Not really. Do not claim to be an expert on this. I am not Gullah Geechee, but I think because of the time period that Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil was written, that a lot of people, especially a lot of white people, saw these practices and immediately thought voodoo.
Right.
So that's why it kind of gets conflated.
Yeah, that's something I was always curious about. After listening to the book, it always sounds weird saying listening to the book, but I feel like I'm cheating if I say I read it and I didn't. I was like, you know, that seems odd to me that there would be a large scale voodoo practicing going on in that part of the South. Cause I grew up going to New Orleans a ton because where I'm from was only like 3.5 hours from New Orleans. So somewhat not familiar with it in the sense that I've ever been around it, but just hearing about the lore and you know, what is out there in New Orleans. So that's kind of nice to find out some more information on that. What are some other misnomers about Savannah that, you know, on your tours and stuff, I'm sure people ask you all kind of questions that you're just like, oh gosh, this question again. No, it's this, yeah. Not that.
You hear all the time that Savannah's a city built on its dead. Yeah, but that's also not special to Savannah. Chicago is built on top of old cemeteries. New York is built on top of old cemeteries. San Francisco, like a lot of cities are built on top of old cemeteries. Savannah is not special that way. And as far as the idea that, you know, if you go digging in downtown, you'll immediately find bones. It depends on where you're digging.
Wait, that's a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
Wow.
There are a lot of people who think that if you just pick a random spot of dirt and start digging there, you'll find bones. And depending on where you are, you might.
That is the most wild thing I've ever. So, yeah, I had no idea that that was part of the lore. Is it against the law to dig? Like, I'm sure they must not want people digging for other people's bones in the city.
Well, I mean, you're not supposed to, just because we also have a lot of gas lines.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
So call 311.
Don't smoke while you're digging for bones.
We're going to check, like, the local news next week, and Noah's going to be like, with a picture with his eyes wide, like in a shovel. Like,
what's left of my hair will just be singed off.
I just needed to see if they were real. I have a ghost podcast. I gotta know.
Broughton Street, one of the main streets downtown, they just finished working on it. They've been working on it for several years. And I heard a lot of people say, oh, the reason that it's taking so long is because as they're digging up the old road, they're finding all these dead bodies. I'm like,
oh my God.
No, they're not. The reason it's taking so long is because we're an old city and they kept finding old water pipes that were corroding and need to be replaced. Yeah, I kind of had to eat my words a little bit because at the corner of Broughton and Bull Street, they did find some bone fragments in October.
Whoa.
And those were taken to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. And I keep checking their website, and so far they haven't updated anything. We don't know if they're animal or human bones. And Savannah is a city that's been lived in for a really long time, even before it was called Savannah. Like, Native Americans lived in coastal Georgia for thousands of years.
Right.
So
literally thousands of years. Like, it blows my mind every time. It's interesting because you think at this point we could very quickly decide and determine if it was a animal bone. Well, I guess we're animals too, but, you know, like a mammal bone versus, well, we're mammals too. Oh my gosh, where am I going? Where am I going with this?
You know,
two legs versus four.
Animal versus like a human bone.
Well, they were bone fragments, and I haven't found any description of how big the bone fragments were. Mm-hmm. But that is also a couple of neat things about that area is where it was found on the old, like, 1750s maps of Savannah, there was a well there. So it could be animal bones. Maybe an animal fell into the well. Nobody found it.
Or a child. There's
or a child. there's also Toma Chichi, the leader of the Yamacraw, who was here when General Oglethorpe, the founder of Savannah, arrived. Mm. He was buried in Wright Square, which is close by. Also off Wright Square was where our original burial ground was and where some bodies still are, because they didn't get them all. But the sand in the soil in Savannah is very sandy, and sand will shift and move with time, and it will take small things like bone fragments with it. Mm-hmm. So another possibility is that it could be from Toma Chichi or the old burial ground. And over the last couple of hundred years, they've just been migrating north to Broughton Street. So it'll be really exciting to hear what the GBI finds.
If you got to sit down with someone of the city or like the mayor, or I don't even know who I'm asking here, but if you sat down with someone official and they were like, what should we change or what should we do? I know this is a very broad question, but I'm curious if there's anything you've learned from your tours and from the history that you're like, oh, if only this, or I wish that there was more or less of this.
I really wish there was an archaeology ordinance because we do not have one, and it is up to homeowners, business owners, who, if they're doing new construction, they get to pick whether or not there's an archaeological survey of that area prior to building. And
interesting.
I follow a couple of archaeologists here in Savannah, and that's their main complaint. Like, anytime something like the bones pops up, they're like, if we had an archaeological ordinance, this would not be a problem.
Yeah, I had never thought of it like that, because it must be such a process. You'd think by now, especially somewhere as historical as Savannah, that they would have like a better process with that, or like an ordinance.
And there's no telling how many pieces of Savannah's history that we've lost along the way, because, you know, there's been a lot of development. Yes, there's a lot of historic preservation, but there's also a lot of new development. And yeah, there are God knows how many pieces of history that are just gone now because of that.
Or just like sitting on someone's mantle because they found it in their backyard or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, speaking of history, I was curious, has there ever been a known serial killer in Savannah throughout the, you know?
There was a serial killer who came through in the, I think it was the late 70s or early 80s. He targeted gay men. And I do not remember his name. We didn't get any real notable serial killers. And then there was another serial killer who came through sometime in the 90s, I think. And he targeted women. And the weird thing about him is he remembered all their faces. And after he was caught, he was, you know, put on trial, found guilty, put in prison. But in prison, he started drawing the faces of his victims. Yeah. He was like, I don't remember their names, but this is their face. So law enforcement has been working, like posting these pictures, asking people like, do you recognize this woman? And there were a couple of victims from Savannah.
Wow.
What?
I did not know that. I just feel like you're our internet for Savannah. Any question I can come up with, you're like, actually.
Savannah Google.
Yeah. That should be the name of your podcast, Savannah Google.
Wait, that's funny. I like that. You should do that. But also, I have another question. So if you, when you travel outside of a Savannah, do you always like try to make sure you get some sort of history or ghost tour, depending on what city you're in?
I do like going on ghost tours, and I like visiting a lot of museums. Mm-hmm. I have family up in the Columbus, Ohio area. And the last time I was up, we all went on a ghost tour. I kind of felt like a jerk because even though I don't know a whole lot of history about Columbus, but I do know certain things about architecture. So we're towards the back of the group and he's telling us all these ghost stories and stuff. And I'm like, this building is called Brutalism. And my sister is trying to listen to me and listen to the tour guide at the same time.
You're probably like, no, he's making it up. No, that's something I didn't think about either. You're probably really good at spotting the frauds, because I'm sure there are a couple frauds sprinkled in every now and then with ghost tours and things like that.
It's always really funny because, especially going back to Colonial Park Cemetery, there are a lot of myths regarding Colonial Park Cemetery, just because it's a spooky looking place and a lot of people take advantage of that. And so in order to, you know, build out their tour, they make up stuff. Not naming any names, but
you could.
But I could. And I will tell my tours, you know, like, there's this myth about this thing, and I'll debunk it. And then we'll walk a few feet away and we'll pass another tour. And a guest on my tour will be like, they just said the thing that you said that wasn't true. Oh,
wow. And they're like, right here is where the ghost rose from the. And you're like, no. Well, circling back to ghosts, have there been any recent ghost stories circulating in Savannah that have interested you?
There's always some. Yesterday was actually sent a picture from somebody who follows me on TikTok, and he's asked me if I knew anything about this particular inn in Savannah. And I was like, well, I know it used to be a private residence. It was also a law office for a while, and now it's an inn. And he was like, yeah, that's pretty much all the information I could find about it too. But I took this picture, and I think I caught a woman standing on the steps, and he sent me the picture, and I've still been staring at it because I'm still trying to figure out, like, is it maybe a glare? Is it a reflection off of something? Because if it's really a ghost that he captured, it's a really good one. He said to him it looks like a woman in a bridal gown with like a veil over her face. I think it looks more like a Victorian girl in a nightgown.
And on these tours that I know you mentioned, where you had a couple experiences, were there any other experiences you wanted to share with us, or any other recent ghost phenomenon you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, I had a tour group. It was a bachelorette party, and they were fantastic. Bachelorette parties in Savannah, we kind of have like a love-hate relationship with them. Sure. We refer to them as woo girls.
Wait, refer to them as what?
Woo girls, because they woo get drunk and they go, woo, woo.
I've been known to be a woo girl before. Surprise.
But since I only do private tours, it was just their group, which was great because it wasn't a whole bunch of other people being like, meh, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So they were a little tipsy. They had pre-gamed before the tour, but they were all fantastic. And I'm showing them around, telling them all my stories. And I guess because they were just like the right level of drunk, they really got into the stories. And by the time we got to Chippewa Square, they have worked themselves up into hysterics, and they think a ghost is going to follow them back to their Airbnb.
Oh my gosh.
So we stop over close to the monument there in the square, and I'm trying to calm them down and let them know I'm not taking you anywhere where ghosts like to follow people. We did not go to Colonial Park Cemetery.
All right. Was that like a last minute decision?
Yeah. but I'm trying to like let them know you're going to be safe. Well, it was a chilly night and we're standing in the middle of the square, far away from any of the buildings, and we're all wearing sweaters. And as I'm trying to calm them all down, I feel this warm presence walk through the center of our group.
Oh, dear.
And I'm looking at them like, did anyone else feel that? No, just me, because I'm the only sober one. Okay. We are going to walk away from here very quickly, because when I said, no one's going to follow you, clearly someone was hanging out and was like, oh, you don't think, huh?
Just waiting for you to say that. And here we come.
As far as I know, they did not get followed. So
I would have loved
made it out okay.
I would have loved to like watch their reactions when you were like, everything's fine. You're not going to get followed. And then like, did y'all feel that? Did they freak out?
I was trying to keep them calm. So I was just like, we're just going to walk away from here. And I didn't tell them why until later.
Oh my gosh. I probably would have been one of those scared, like drunk girls for sure.
Yeah, me too. Well, Inigo, what is your, because obviously you enjoy the stuff and you still enjoy it, which I think is really cool. Is there a dream location you would like to visit that you've never been before?
I just love cool old places that have fun architectural details in them. I ended up on history talk and like architecture talk all the time. And yeah, I want to see everything.
I bet Italy has some really cool haunted places because they have a ton of, you know, obviously with it being in Europe, old architecture that would be fun to investigate.
Oh, I'm sure.
As you kind of move forward with this industry, and I feel pretty confident in saying, you know, you really are the top or one of the top tour guides in Savannah. Where do you see this going for you? Where do you want it? You know, where do you want to take this practice?
I have no idea. I started this in response to people who follow me on TikTok wanting in-person tours. And, you know, I just do private groups. I don't advertise. I try to keep my costs really low, just because I know after the pandemic and everything, we're still going through like some weird economic times that, you know, money's really tight. So I could charge more. I probably should charge more. But I'm doing it. I hate to say I'm doing it for the fans because that sounds so pretentious, but, it's really more for them. And it just gives me an excuse to walk around and info dump about a bunch of stuff that I know. Will I continue to do this? I don't know. Maybe it'll morph into something else.
And for people that are listening to this right now and have enjoyed you on the previous podcast and on this episode, can you give them kind of a, I hate to use the word sales pitch, but just kind of a small taste of what they can expect if they do reach out and book you for a tour in Savannah?
Yeah. Like I said, all my tours are private and it's just you and whoever else you bring. And I've got all my contact information on my website, InigoEdmondFieldTours.com. And because they're all private, you can also kind of like pick the time that works best for you. Unless it's October, I usually don't get like completely booked up. Just reach out to me, say, these are the dates that we're going to be in town. This is how many people we have. And I do charge, it's $25 for adults and $10 for children 5 to 13. Any kids on the tour under 5 are free. So I can also make it family friendly. I don't talk about the dead prostitutes on the family tours.
What about the alive ones?
No, not them either.
We got to get those prices up. That is a really good deal. Well, and I know I've asked you a ton of questions about Savannah, but lastly, I would love to know what your most overrated location is that people want to visit and the most underrated location that people should visit.
I'm ready for this.
Overrated is probably a toss-up in between the Sorrel Weed House and 432 Abercorn, just because a lot of the stories that get told about both places are not true. Am I saying those places aren't haunted? No. I do believe they are haunted. I just don't think they're haunted by pretty much any of the things that people say they're haunted by. As far as underrated goes, ooh, that's a good one. Let me think about that. I was not expecting that question. either Poeter Hall, which is a building that's owned by the Savannah College of Art and Design. It's the first building that they purchased when they moved into Savannah in the 70s, but that building was originally the Savannah Guard Armory. Hmm. And it was built on top of property that used to be an orphanage.
Great.
Yes.
Always good.
And right across from that is another place that's my favorite building in Savannah. It's the old Scottish Rite Temple that was completed in the 1920s, and it was built by the Masons, the Scottish Rite. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous building. They also sold it to SCAD in 2020 because SCAD owns everything. but that building, every time I've done a video, a TikTok about that, or mentioned it in a live, I get messages from members who wow. are like, hey, have I got some stories about that place? And yeah, every story I've heard about that place from people who were either members of the Scottish Rite or were members of other Masonic lodges that had events there, all of them are wild.
Hmm. Like haunted wild?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Is it like a specific ghost or just like hauntings in general that take place?
It seems to be haunted by multiple things. I think some of them are people. Some of them might not be people.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, like I've heard other tourists talk about how sometimes if you stand outside at night, you can see like men in like 1920s, 1930s clothing standing in front of the windows. And I've heard that from other people as well. But the ones that lodge members have told me sometimes involve them getting chased by stuff.
Oh, wow. That's super scary. Well, Kat, did you have any more questions for Inika before we get her out of here?
I don't think so, but I really want to come to Savannah now and go on one of your tours.
Yeah.
I know I need to book you next time I come through because the last tattoo I got, I guess a couple weeks, maybe a month ago, there's a couple little spots that I'm going to get touched up because of the way it healed. So I'll have to reach out and see if you're free when I come through, because I've never been on a ghost tour before, so I you know, as somebody who co-hosts a ghost podcast, I should probably go and experience that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, Real Hauntings field trip to Savannah. It's happening.
Yeah, yes. We definitely have to do that. Yeah. Well, Inika, I would love for you, I know you mentioned your website, but I'd love for you to let our audience know your other or your social media outlets where they can follow all the great content you create too.
Sure. I'm on TikTok. My handle is Salt Waves Spanish Moss. I'm also on Instagram as Eni Edenfield. Eni is spelled E-E-N-I-E. And yeah, those are really the two main ones.
With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
Oh, I'm Kat.
And I'm Inika.
Woo!
Woo!
Woo-hoo! Woo!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.